welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
So I said before, two key characteristics of all types of light. There's a level of brightness, and light has a source. And as I'm sharing, remember, I want us to examine ourselves. Do our lives shine as a bright light to the world around us? And if so, does the world recognize, because we make it known, that the source of that light is God the Father? John 1, 1 through 13. So I want to read this portion to you, and then we're going to look at it a little deeper. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. This is speaking about John the Baptist. This man came to witness that he might testify to the light, that all men might believe in it, adhere to it, trust it, and rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, world, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. And we're going to stop there. And so I want to break this down a little bit. I want you to circle verse 5, the number 5, 7, and 9. And we're going to break those down a little bit, and you can go back and look at those on your own time. And verse 5, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. Now, this verse is chock full of insight when you break it down. Lucky for you, we're about to. We are talking about allowing our relationship with Jesus to shine as a beacon to the world around us so that God, as its source, receives all the honor, glory, and praise from our righteous living, our light. Darkness has never overpowered the light. Satan has no real power when going head to head with Jesus. Therefore, when Christ dwells within us and we are conformed to his will and purpose for our lives, the enemy has no real power over us. But the enemy has a plan. Well, three plans. Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C that we need to be aware of. And this verse sheds light, no pun intended, on those three strategic plans of the enemy. And I want to break these down for you. So enemy's plan A, just from verse 5, he attempts to put out our light, extinguish, put an end to, cancel, or render void. This is his first plan. The enemy seeks to extinguish our lives as a light to the world. He will attempt to get us, ourselves, to cut ourselves off from God as our source through distractions in the world, through enticing us out of a committed, intimate relationship with Jesus. Now think about Adam and Eve. Plan A worked on Adam and Eve. The enemy was able to entice Adam and Eve out of a committed relationship with God the Father, who walked with them in the garden. He distracted them and he enticed them out of what they had. If the enemy can convince us to neglect our relationship with Christ, It will lead to our life as a light to this world, as a beacon of truth to the lost, lead to it fading away and dying out. All of us have areas in our lives, and we can admit it. All of us have an area, maybe one, maybe two, that the enemy likes to try and exploit over and over and over again. And we need to get real with God and identify those areas, admit to ourselves and to God that they are areas of concern, and then take active steps to submit whatever it may be to the Lord. And Paul's example last week, if you missed his message, was powerful. And he had up here a table, and he put down $100 bills, $1,000 and $100 bills, and he had people come up out of the crowd that represented lust or idolatry and certain things that the enemy will try to use to steal what is rightfully our inheritance. And sadly, Plan A works a majority of the time and keeps casual Christians in a never-ending cycle of today I'm on fire for Christ, light on. And then tomorrow it's too hard. I'm bored. It's too much of an investment. It's no fun. They're having more fun than I am. Click, light off. How does that make us look to the world? When one minute we are taking a stand on an issue and the next minute we are standing side by side with them instead of apart for them and standing for Christ. Be on guard. Stand firm. The enemy has a plan for us, but he needs to go. Don't be casual in your relationship with God. Strive to stay committed. Amen? So if Plan A doesn't work, then the enemy moves on to Plan B. And Plan B is he will attempt to absorb our light. And again, our light is our relationship with Jesus. Absorb means take in and assimilate, consume and occupy. Now, we have something in our house our kids like to play with called FLARP. Anyone ever seen FLARP before? There seems to be a craze out there now with the stretchy, sticky, gooey stuff, and my daughter loves it. But when you put FLARP on the carpet, guess what? The carpet absorbs the FLARP. And as much as you try, you can't get the FLARP out of every nook and cranny of the carpet. So we have little spots of green residue as memories of where Alex dropped her FLARP. And one time she left it on the remote control, and it just absorbed the remote control into the cracks, and I had to clean it out with a toothpick as best I could. But you never get it all out. Consume and occupy. Take up and reduce the effect or intensity of. Think of body armor. When someone's wearing body armor and they get shot, it's not that they don't feel the bullet, but the body armor is absorbing the maximum potential of that bullet. The enemy seeks to absorb the output of our light. Take in and assimilate, consume and occupy, take up and reduce the effect and intensity of. If he can't get us to voluntarily extinguish our own light through distractions and enticings, the enemy will attempt to infiltrate, to taint, to intermingle with, to muddy, to diminish the intensity of our light in order to compromise its true potential. And if he can't cause our life as a light to be extinguished, he is more than happy to meet us halfway and make a deal. You ever watch Let's Make a Deal? The enemy loves to make a deal. Just as long as we don't shine too bright or have too much of an impact on the world around us. Think of a flashlight with a dying battery. Think about how the winter is today when you're driving around in your car and your headlight covers get a little bit dirty. Until you change the battery, until you clean the gunk off your lens on your headlights, you forget the potential maximum light that could be produced by that flashlight or by your headlights. Over time, the gunk, the spiritual gunk and garbage builds up and diminishes and weakens our light. Think about Samson. Think about King David. King David was a light, but King David thought he was doing okay and allowed certain things to creep into his life until he was confronted by a prophet that had to use an example to get him to snap out of it and realize what he was doing was wrong. Think about Samson, thought he had everything under control because of his strength. Sometimes we get a little too cocky with who we are, in Christ even, and we say, it's okay to dabble here, it's okay to mingle here, it's okay to let this in because I can handle it. before you know it, your hair is gone and you're in chains and shackles. Don't allow the enemy to slyly get us to compromise the uncompromised truth that we should willingly and proudly be displaying, giving God all the glory along the way. Amen? So if plan A and plan B don't work, then he'll move on to plan C. And plan C is, this is all from verse 5, he will attempt to appropriate our light. Appropriate means take something for one's own use, typically without the owner's permission. So when we are in a place in our walk with the Lord where we won't allow our light to be extinguished or compromised, and it is on full display to the world around us, and we are giving God all the glory for who we are and all that we have, that is when the enemy realizes we are a true threat to him and his goals. That is when the gloves come off and we come under a full barrage of attacks. And I've shared in depth about Job and the struggles Job had. Job is a perfect example of this. Job was doing everything right. Joseph did everything right, and the enemy tried to knock him down time and time again. Not with little things, but with huge attacks and assaults. And in a way, we should consider the enemy's full attention as a compliment, because it must mean we're doing something right if he's focusing on us so harshly. Full-on assault, not just one area of our life, but every area coming under attack all at once. Relationships, health, ours or a loved one, our job, our finances, our children or other family members. If he can't get us through us, he'll get us through those we care about. What's going on in the world causing fear and worry and anxiety? You name it, he will use it against us. He designs a specific plan for each and every one of us. And the enemy would love to see us simply useless with plan A or compromise with plan B. But even more so, he enjoys being able to completely turn us and use us against God, getting a once strong believer to begin to show bitterness and hate instead of forgiveness and love. Don't give in. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." And I want to go back to John 1. And as I read these next few verses that we read earlier, I want you to think of them in relation to present day. We're going to go to verse 10. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. The world will not recognize Jesus through us if we as believers have allowed our light, which is our relationship with God, to be put out or extinguished by the influence of the world. Verse 11, he came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, world, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. The world will not receive the good news of Jesus through us if we have allowed ourselves to become absorbed by the world. The world will not welcome Jesus because of us if we have allowed ourselves to become appropriated by the enemy, have turned on and are being used against the kingdom of God.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive.